Welcome everyone to the Belfast Men's Health Group 6th podcast with Frank McNally, Prostate Cancer UK, Northern Ireland volunteer and coordinator for the Prostate Cancer UK, Northern Ireland volunteer hub. Now that's a bit of a mouthful, but at least that's Frank's role. Now today Frank will give us some information about prostate cancer, the risks, how it can affect men, action to take, and what we can do to reduce our risk of prostate cancer. Now that's the introduction. So Frank, thanks very much for agreeing to have a wee chat with us. Our audience will definitely be all ears, if you pardon the pun, for this one. So I guess let's start off with what is a prostate?
Well, the prostate is a gland, Paul. Before I start, I'd just like to thank you for the opportunity to, you know, to invite me along here today to and talk about a very important subject, particularly for men. Mm-hmm. The prostate is a gland. It's usually the size and shape of a walnut. It grows bigger as we men get older, and it sits directly underneath your bladder. Mm-hmm. And surrounds the urethra tube, which is basically the tube that would, you know, we men urinate from. And the prostate's main job is to help make semen that carries the sperm. Okay. So that's basically what the prostate is.
Yes. And what can affect the prostate then, Frank?
Well, there's three main things that can affect the prostate. I mean, doctors will tell you, as us men get older, we do have prostate problems. It causes issues. The three main areas are the enlarged prostate. Mm-hmm. And that's basically where the size of your prostate, obviously, it's enlarging, it's getting bigger. It narrows that urethra tube, which causes issues in terms of maybe making it harder for you to urinate or pee. It maybe cause pain or whatever, but mm-hmm. it isn't the cause for cancer.
Right.
There's prostatitis, which is an infection and inflammation of the prostate gland. And again, it's a non-cancerous condition. So it's not, both of those are treatable, but they're not cancerous in any way. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you have prostate cancer, which basically is when the cells in the prostate start to grow in an uncontrolled way. And although most men with early prostate cancer don't have any of the symptoms, which I'll cover shortly, many may experience a change in the way they urinate. It could be mild, it could be worse than mild, it could be an enlarged prostate, it could be prostatitis, or it could be prostate cancer. But it's always a good idea, if you have issues in that area, to get it checked out.
Yeah. And how many men, roughly, I know you're not able to be very specific, but in Northern Ireland would suffer with prostate problems or prostate cancer?
Well, the current figures that Prostate Cancer UK have is that in Northern Ireland, believe it or not, there's over 1,100 men are diagnosed with prostate cancer every year.
Wow.
And it's making it the most common form of male cancer. And in the UK, Paul, mm-hmm. one man dies every 45 minutes with prostate cancer.
Right, okay.
It's an unbelievable figure. And it's the second most common cause of cancer death in men, with approximately over 270 men dying from a disease every year in Northern Ireland.
Well, there's some sort of serious figures there, Frank.
Yeah, but on a positive note, I'd like to give you a positive note.
Yes.
Although it's now the most commonly diagnosed cancer in the UK, the positive note is there's over 400,000 men, 400 in the UK, are living with or after prostate in the UK, and I'm one of them. I mean, I was diagnosed at age 50 in 2008 with no symptoms, and luckily I was caught early.
Right. Well, that's thank goodness for that. And you've brought me on to actually the next sort of lead on, which is what age does prostate or your prostate enlarge or prostate cancer become an issue? Because I think I've read that it's not a young man's issue as such, but you were 50, so that's young.
Yeah, it was young. I mean, it was totally just out of the blue, Paul, to be honest with you. As I said, I had no symptoms, and I was going along for my annual checkup for my blood pressure and my cholesterol, and because I had turned 50 in February that year, my doctor decided to do a few more tests, and one of them was a PSA test, which I'll cover later. And it was high, and after a couple more tests, I was referred to Craigavon Area Hospital, where my consultant basically told me I had a 1 in 3 chances of prostate cancer. And after biopsy, it was confirmed that a quarter of my cancer, or sorry, prostate, was cancer.
Right.
So basically, I was 50. I mean, over 50, as I said earlier, our risk as men does increase as we get older. Although there are some men diagnosed under 50. I mean, I work in the AMI volunteer hub, and we have two volunteers. One was diagnosed at 45, and the other was diagnosed at 48.
Wow.
But then there's issues that can cause that. Maybe there's good issues, and, you know, there could be a family connection. There could be a risk for, you know, with maybe your father or brothers had it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that'll be covered when I talk about the risk. So normally what they would say, it's over 50. And in the UK at the moment, 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. 1 in 8. And in black men, it's 1 in 4.
Right. Okay. That's leading me on now, Frank. I've just hit 51 last week. You've just touched on it there. What are the risks that we need to be aware of?
Well, the thing is, I talked there about family, but we don't know exactly what causes prostate, but there are some things that may mean we're more likely to get it. And there's three main risk factors for getting prostate cancer, which are things we can't change.
Yes.
You know, one, as I said, we're getting older.
Mm-hmm.
It mainly affects men age 50 or over. Family history of prostate cancer.
Yeah.
Or, as I said, because of that statistic for black men being black.
Uh-huh.
And as I mentioned earlier, most men with the early prostate cancer don't have any signs like me. So that's why it's important to be aware of your risk.
Yes.
I mean, I can give you an example, Paul. You know, as part of the hub, we would go out prior to, obviously, the pandemic. Information stands in various places, awareness talks, and it just was frightening the number of men who would talk to us afterwards, and basically, I didn't know there was a family connection. My father was diagnosed, or my brother was diagnosed. So the more we talk, the more men talk and be aware of this and know the risks and get checked is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about not having any of the symptoms. I mean, some of the recognized symptoms, obviously, because of where your prostate is located. I mean, it could be difficulty starting to urinate or empty your bladder. It could be a weak flow. It could be feeling your bladder hasn't emptied properly. It could be dribbling urine after you finish urinating.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's needing to run the toilet more than usual, especially at night.
Yeah.
Or is a sudden need to urinate and maybe sometimes leak before you get to the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some things to look out for. But what I would say is, you know, that doesn't mean that you have prostate cancer. It could be an indicator that there's something wrong, obviously, with your prostate. It doesn't mean that you have prostate cancer. So that's one thing to put out there. Although you have those symptoms, or may have one or two of those symptoms, you know, it doesn't mean that you have prostate cancer.
No,
but it's always good to talk to your GP about any symptoms that you find. You know, make sure you're getting the right treatment that you need.
I know my father had a prostate issue, but it wasn't cancer. I think he had an enlarged prostate.
Yeah.
And he had some of the problems that you just talked about, but it was once he went to the GP, it was controlled.
And well, that's it.
I think he was monitored every year or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, if you go to your GP, you know, and you get checked out, and it is something like an enlarged prostate, or even the fact you went and talked to your GP, you're on their radar. You know, they're aware that there may be issues, so you're on their radar, and they will keep a check on you. As time goes on. Talk to your GP.
Yes.
Another thing, obviously, because I'm a Prostate Cancer UK volunteer, Prostate Cancer UK have specialist nurses who are available, you know, a confidential telephone line. If you want any information or support, you can go down that route as well, or you can go on to the Prostate Cancer UK website to find out more information about all the issues that I'm talking about.
Excellent. What we'll do is we'll maybe get a link to that, Frank. Once this podcast goes out, I'll attach a wee link on our website as well.
Yeah, I can give you the number for the Specialist Nurses, and also the prostate cancer website, because it's an excellent website. It goes into a lot more detail about everything that they're doing in terms of research and work that they're doing, and gives you the case studies. It provides information that you can download free or order. And the Specialist Nurses are there for men and families, or women as well, wives, girlfriends, to ring and there are any concerns, and they provide excellent support.
Excellent. That's good. We'll get that. And as I say, I'll put the links to that.
That's brilliant, Paul. Thank you.
So moving on then, I know we've mentioned it, you can't miss it, we're in the middle of a COVID pandemic. And I guess if men find that they're not emptying their bladder, or they're dribbling a bit, or they're going to the toilet in the middle of the night, which is unusual, Frank, what's the advice?
Well, obviously, Paul, as you had mentioned, I mean, we're going through unprecedented times here with COVID, and you know it's a big worry with many cases, and unfortunately many people losing their lives. But you know, prostate cancer, any cancer, just doesn't step aside. I mean, it's still there. Mm-hmm. So basically the advice would be, I mean, GP surgeries are still open.
Yes.
You know, so if you notice any unusual signs or symptoms that I mentioned, or anything, I mean, you know your body more than anybody, or you're concerned, if you have any concerns about risk at all, it's important to get in touch with your GP. I mean, most GPs will offer a telephone or video appointment, so you don't maybe have to go physically into the surgery.
Yes.
So, I mean, don't be put off. They're safe places. You will be looked after as in hospitals.
Yeah.
So if you have any concerns about prostate cancer, my advice would be speak to your GP. Don't be put off.
Mm-hmm.
The problem at the moment is, I don't have a statistic in front of me, but the number of referrals, not just for prostate cancer, but for cancer because of this, is dropped significantly, which is worrying. So
yeah.
My advice to anybody listening, or any men, or any families that are concerned, is talk to your GP. And as I said, you can also talk to the Specialist Nurses in Prostate Cancer UK, and they have all the time, and don't hesitate to call for support and information. But the bottom line is, don't be put off.
Mm-hmm.
It's your life.
Yes.
It could be the most important conversation that you may have. So
yep.
Don't be put off. Lift the phone, and you know, if you are concerned, get some help.
Yep. No, that's a good point. That's a good point that GP surgeries are still open. Okay, they're not open to walk in and have your appointment.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah,
absolutely,
yeah.
They're open for phone calls. They're open for video calls, and that's a very important point. Well put, Frank. Thank you.
Yeah,
and
no problem.
We're coming now, Frank. This is a very, we've gone through this here very quickly. We're at the last sort of question, if you will. What treatment is there, or what treatments are there for prostate cancer?
Well, your treatment options will depend on whether your cancer is contained within the gland or spread outside the prostate. So, you know, your doctor or nurse or your consultant will explain all your treatment options and help you choose the right treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And the treatments are surgery.
Yes.
Which is like keyhole surgery or robotic assisted keyhole surgery. When I had my operation, it was open surgery, but that's nearly 13 years ago. So treatments have moved on in 13 years, thankfully, and they're getting better all the time with less impacts and side effects. So you have surgery, you have radiotherapy,
mm-hmm.
hormone therapy, chemotherapy, active surveillance, and watchful waiting. And the actual active surveillance is basically suitable for men. It's a low risk, basically, of the cancer spreading. So rather than put somebody through invasive treatment that they may not require, it's maybe an intermediate risk, they just delay and see and watch. But you'll be actively, as it says, you'll be actively surveyed,
mm-hmm.
and you'll be checked out on a regular basis. So there's a range of treatments. There's also brachytherapy.
Yep.
Brachytherapy is basically where the implant the seeds into the prostate, and the seeds then emit the radiation to kill off the cancer in the prostate. So there's a range of treatments, Paul, and as I said, all the information, you know, is available on the prostate cancer website. I'm not medically trained, so, you know, it's not for me to go into each of the ones that's, you know, each of the treatments is available, but they are the treatments that's there, and you will be offered or be able to choose the right treatment with advice from your doctor or consultant for you.
Yeah, no, that, and Frank, you've gone through, I think, a half a dozen of them there, and that's good. It's good news that there are treatments available, yeah. And there are all different treatments tailor-made for you, nearly.
Yeah, I think the thing, you know, in terms of treatments, it's great, but I think, you know, in terms of everybody, like the Prostate Cancer UK and obviously all our consultants, is that, you know, the diagnosis.
Yes.
It's getting a better diagnosis,
yeah,
basically, as well, because, you know, at the moment we have the PSA test, as I talked about, but unfortunately the PSA test is not a definitive test.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a blood test,
yeah,
but it'll just basically indicate that there's something wrong with your prostate. It not necessarily tell you, it's not like a screening, you know, like a breast screening. It won't say that you have cancer.
Yeah.
So, on top of that, you have, you know, the doctors can then sort of basically go through the wall of the back passage using the finger, which is the digital rectal examination. It can sort of feel any hard or regular areas, which may say in a prostate.
Mm-hmm.
And then now many hospitals are now offering a type of MRI scan before sending you down the route of a biopsy to help detect the cancer.
Right.
And help the cancer more quickly. And then, of course, there is the biopsy as well. So I know from a Prostate Cancer UK point of view, they are doing a lot of research and a lot of work in terms of trying to get better and earlier diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. The gold nugget, if you want, is early detection.
Yep, very much so.
Early
very
detection,
so.
And there's a list of treatments which are available, which is good, Frank. And you've gone through some statistics there that of men living with prostate cancer, which is encouraging. And even your operation, which was 13 years ago, which was surgery. And the advances that they've made in 13 years, the robot-assisted surgery, if that's required, it's marvellous. So I think the message is, if there are any irregularities, don't be afraid to phone your GP and explain to your GP, because they're still open for business.
Very much so. And just to reiterate as well, if you have a father or brother with prostate cancer, you're 2.5 times more likely to get prostate cancer. So a lot of men out there are not aware of it. So, you know, if you have that in your family, get checked out. And then the other thing is, really, if you have a mother or sister who's been diagnosed with breast cancer, particularly around the age of 60,
mm-hmm,
you have a likelihood that you could get prostate cancer, because apparently they're very similar cancer genes. So there's those sort of things. The main thing is, get yourself checked out. If you have any concerns, family history or whatever, the earlier it's detected, I'm here after 13 years, thankfully. Mine was caught early, so the earlier it's detected, like most cancers, Paul, very treatable. It's very treatable.
Happy days. Right, Frank. Well, that's very good. And thank you for giving us all that very useful information. That'll be available on our podcast and also on the Belfast Men's Health Group website. So
thanks
very much.
Thank you very much indeed.